This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and our number, if you want to join us on the radio here, it's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And also, we've been talking about cryptocurrency and getting into another attack against it. This one by, well, one of the usual suspects, Peter Schiff, calling Bitcoin people fools, saying that Bitcoin is the latest iteration of fool's gold and anybody buying it is ultimately a fool. Well, I can tell you that everybody that purchased it up until, you know, a few weeks ago had actually, you know, come out on top. So I'm not sure if that's a foolish thing.
I kind of have to wonder now, am I not a fool because I didn't purchase it? I only acquired it.
Well, that's even better.
If somebody sent it to me, you know, for a good that I sold.
I think that's even better because
if you
can get paid in Bitcoin, then that's the optimal way to do things. But we're going to talk about it because Peter Schiff says Bitcoin is never going to be money. He says it doesn't fit the definition of money.
What three definitions of money are there? Or what are the three things that something has to be for it to be
right?
Money? Are there only three? I thought there was...
Three is the ones I remember. It has to be a medium of exchange, mm-hmm. a unit of account, and... a medium exchange, a unit
store
of account, and a store of value.
Okay. In fact, I pulled up something about what defines money, so we can get into that coming up here. But again, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Chris,
and TJ the Spy.
A story here from FoxBusiness.com. Peter Schiff on the attack again against Bitcoin rather than embrace it, as apparently his own son has done. He is still, and I don't know if you're saying this on the air, TJ, but there was like a poll, apparently.
Yes, Peter Schiff did on his Euro-Pacific Capital. He has a podcast that he puts mm-hmm. out on YouTube. Peter Schiff Radio, but he actually had a poll on his website where he asked people, who do you think is right, my son who's 18 and has no investment experience, Spencer, or me with 30 or 40 years of investment mm-hmm. brokerage experience?
It's not a high
who do you
point
think? And
me.
It was like 95% of the listeners thought the son was right and the dad was wrong.
The problem is that experience in and of itself does not necessarily mean that you're competent in your field. There's a lot of people out there who are incompetent in their field
right.
and have 30, 40 years experience.
Well, also, it doesn't, even if they are competent, even if they're incredibly successful and have helped, you know, thousands of people make millions of dollars, that doesn't mean they understand the next thing.
Yeah, it's very
mean,
true.
Right? Like, you know, the old dinosaurs are dinosaurs for a reason. They don't change with the times. They're going
yes.
extinct. And that's true for people like Peter Schiff. It's true for, you know, old media.
You know, it kind of reminds me of venture capitalists. They don't really care where the money goes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're just in it for making the money off of, they get a percentage or something to that effect, or a certain fee, right? And so they don't really care about the business so much. It's about the money that they're making from it.
He says that money needs to be a commodity. It needs to have actual value unto itself, not just the uses and means of exchange. Now, I don't know what he means by it needs to have actual value unto itself.
I think he means like gold has a use like for electronics mm-hmm. and platinum has a use in the auto industry for catalytic converters silver has a use for jewelry. And
I think one of the problems with this idea that it has to have a value, you know, in and of itself is that the value...
Intrinsic value, perhaps?
Yeah, the intrinsic value. It may have intrinsic value, but it's not of the extent that people value it, right? So, like, if it goes away, like the exchange, you know, the exchange, there's value in it being a medium of exchange, right? And that's what we see in cryptocurrency. It has a value only in of being exchanged. There's no intrinsic value other than that, right? Gold has some intrinsic value, but most of its value is not as, you know, in products. It's mostly in its use as a medium of exchange, which is the same thing as crypto almost, except there's some intrinsic value, whereas crypto has no intrinsic value.
I don't know if I agree with that, because the cryptocurrency, Bitcoin as money or cryptocurrency as money or crypto as money is only one aspect of what it can be used for. So the real technology that came out when Bitcoin was released is the blockchain. I mean, that's one of the most important aspects of this, this sort of encrypted, secure, distributed, decentralized method of storing information and recalling that information, this blockchain. And we've had databases forever.
The blockchain might have some value, right, to other...
But that's intrinsic to Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't exist without the blockchain. The blockchain, for listeners that don't know, is the it's the public ledger, in the case of Bitcoin, that is behind Bitcoin. And so blockchain can be used for more than just storing, you know, money on a ledger. It can also be used for storing other data, for instance, in a decentralized and distributed manner that cannot be stopped and cannot be taken down. So when you look at, like, BSV, Bitcoin's
Satoshi version.
Yes, SV, they have the ability, because they made their block size, I think, unlimited or very,
something
very
like 100
large,
megabytes. Gigabyte or something. 100 megabytes was the top. It's still very large.
Yeah, and so they made it so you can now upload... pictures, you can upload documents, you can upload all kinds of things to this blockchain. So the technology behind Bitcoin is its intrinsic value. The network of Bitcoin is also part of its intrinsic value. The fact that there are 10,000 nodes on this network that are checking each other constantly and verifying the transactions, there's a tremendous value.
That's a value of exchange, not intrinsic value. If it's not a value of exchange, that value isn't there.
So well, if no one uses it, then it's, you know, it's not particularly valuable. But
well, as a unit of exchange, right? If you remove that from it, what else can you do with that? With that particular blockchain,
I just gave you examples. They can store other data.
So you're saying we would go from using Bitcoin to exchange value to storing tiny pictures?
That's happening right now on the Bitcoin SV blockchain. Go to the Twetch website, TWETCH. They're doing a social...
Okay, I mean, that seems like it's still... I mean it's kind of... even. All right, let's just assume that's the case. Let's say that is intrinsic value, right? It's going to be very, very tiny relative to what the people value cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or any of these cryptos at, right?
I mean, could be.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing I think that is kind of...
It depends. What's the value... you're saying it's tiny... But, you know, what is the value of something that can never be deleted? I mean, that there's some value there. Now, whether it's the same value of crypto or not, of the money aspect of it or not, and also we may not even know yet what, you know, these technologies can really be used for down the line. We're still just kind of scratching the surface on this. But I'm just telling you, there is some value to this technology.
I'm willing to assume, for the sake of argument, that there is, right?
Money's just the first application, to this technology.
So, but now you're kind of moving beyond cryptocurrency, right?
I am. I'm telling you that the technology behind the currency aspect. The currency aspect was the first application.
See, the problem is you're talking about then something different, right? Like crypto.
So what did Peter Schiff say? I mean, like, I actually watched the interview. They had a Fox Business. They had a Bitcoin proponent, and they had Peter Schiff on to talk about why each one was right.
Yeah.
And the Bitcoin proponent, he said, well, Peter Schiff accepts Bitcoin to buy gold.
Does he now?
Yes, he has BitPay.
Interesting.
The thing that I would have pointed out to Peter, I said, I agree with him, gold is going to go up in value a lot when this hyperinflation bubble that's coming to our way hits. But the one thing about gold is, if I want to give it to you, Ian, I physically have to send it to you or hand it to you.
Or you can send a certificate. That's where they're manipulating the price of gold, by issuing certificates to people who are quote-unquote buying gold.
Gold, yes.
And then they just get a certificate. But there may not actually be the gold in the vault to back the certificate.
And that's the thing. Bitcoin, that could become worthless because you don't physically have it.
That's right.
Bitcoin has this huge advantage. I can put up a QR code on the TV and anybody in the world can send me money.
That's right.
You can't do that with gold and silver.
Nope. No, you can't. Yeah.
I think there is a lot of value in cryptocurrencies, and I don't know about the intrinsic part of it, but I think it's I think it could be. I think you can say it's overvalued.
You think it's overvalued?
I think you could make that argument. I'm not saying it is. I think at the end of the day, we don't see people using it, you know, to the extent that it probably should be used, for people to, you know, consider it, you know, to have a significant value. But, you know, hey, if it, as long as it continues, you know, the adoption continues, it may eventually get there. So, you know, but if it's going to get there in 100 years, it doesn't make sense to value it today at what it's valued at possibly.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Well, regardless of what you think the price should be, the market has decided the
absolutely
price is what it is.
You are 100% right.
For a variety of reasons, whatever those might be. More coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom. At a discount, go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
What if the United States and Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
FM on the decentralized Mastodon social media platform at toot.lrn.fm. Toot.lrn.fm.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what 6321 here, 603-283-6160. Is Bitcoin money? Peter Schiff says it is not. And we respectfully disagree. At least, I think I can speak for you guys.
Yes.
On that point. With you tonight in the studio, it's Ian,
Chris,
and TJ the Spy.
We're going to continue with your calls and your thoughts. Also want to remind you about ForkFest coming up this summer. You're going to want to join us in the woods in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at Rogers Campground. TJ, you went a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2018, the year my father passed away.
That was year number two of ForkFest, and you missed the last couple. You missed a good one.
I'm going to try to get James to come this year.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That would definitely be fun.
It's going to be happening June 28th through July 4th. This is going to be year number five for ForkFest. And it will be happening after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So back when you went, it was actually before. Last year, in 2020, we started it afterwards, and it's going to continue to be after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And ForkFest is a great event, but ForkFest is also very, very different, because ForkFest is decentralized, meaning that there's no one who is in charge of the event. There's no organizers. There's no board of directors. It's just liberty-minded people coming to the same place for the relatively same time frame. And just having a good time. If there's something you want to create for other attendees, you should do that. So if you want to put on, some sort of a musical performance or host a game night or a poker game or, whatever it is you're called to do, whatever you think people would enjoy, then you should do it. Go to forkfest.party. You can learn more about the event there. And there's some links to the ForkFest chat room on Telegram. There's also some other, all the stuff's unofficial, of course. So, if you feel like you want to create a ForkFest Matrix server, go right ahead or whatever.
Give it a new name.
So ForkFest.party, or create a ForkFest room on the existing LRN Matrix server. There's all kinds of cool things you can do, but it's up to you, because you decide what ForkFest is all about. It's, again, June 28th through July 4th. What you can do right now is go to ForkFest.party and then check out Rogers Campground and get in touch with Rogers and book your site, because they're expecting a large number of people there for their 4th of July weekend, because it's not just going to be the Liberty folks who are in the park. There's also going to be just some folks who are there to check out the cool fireworks show, which was amazing this
year.
Absolutely. So you want to make sure you get your spot reserved. And I'm not saying the place is going to sell out, but it was a pretty big weekend, and you want to make sure you're there for it.
I would put it on the calendar, if nothing else.
Yeah. I'd say, if not, put it on your calendar. Go ahead and book your campsite.
Book your campsite right now? Because they're usually closed in the winter, aren't they?
They are closed in the winter, but I think they return, phone calls like once a week or something.
I've heard
like
it's difficult to get a booking. I would add it to my calendar and
give it another month or two or something.
Give it until it gets warmer, and then then book.
Don't wait too long.
I'm not saying wait. Yeah. Obviously the early bird gets the campsite they want, but. Yeah.
ForkFest.party, June 28th through July 4th this year. We'll see you then. Steve in Connecticut is on the line with us here, and we'll continue on Peter Schiff on the attack again against Bitcoin. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live.
Is it Steve? You're a political refugee from Connecticut.
Hey, Steve.
I'm still from Connecticut. I got one foot in New Hampshire, one still in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
But, being from Connecticut, Peter Schiff was in Westport, Connecticut. And about 15 years ago, word was going around that, the economy's going to blow up, and I see him on TV, and he's talking about Ron Paul and gold. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to give this guy a chance because he's in Connecticut. I, went to his office, talked to him, and set up a brokerage account with him. And, he started, like you were saying, there's either physical gold or there's certificates. And his big thing was the Perth Mint. Like you're buying Australian gold, but here are the certificates. The mint, the gold is in the mint.
Yeah.
And I was like, being somewhat naive to gold 15 years ago, I thought, well, that's safe. It's safe over in Australia.
Mm.
But, every time I've seen him on TV, he's always, the sky is falling. The economy's going to crash. They're printing money like crazy. And it's true, but it just seems that, his predictions were doomsday predictions. Don't come true.
Well, it's the doomsday predictions that sell products, right? Like if you can get fear into people, then they will buy. And that's what people like Peter Schiff and Alex Jones and these fearmongers have been doing for decades.
There's something to overselling, though, I think. And I think that's the thing you got to be careful of, especially when you're dealing with people, is they're overselling. And if they oversell it, what else are they lying to you about, you know?
So wait, you were saying Peter Schiff was selling certificates? He doesn't even sell actual gold?
Well, I think at the time I was able to get actual gold, but not at, you know, on the side to keep in my safe at home, but not part of a self-employment pension or 401k or anything like that. You had to buy it through certificate.
But wait, what I was asking was, what does Peter Schiff sell? Does he sell, you're saying he sells just the certificates, or does he actually sell the physical product?
I think one part of his business, Euro Pacific Capital, sold physical gold.
Oh, okay, okay.
I needed a broker to put money in for a retirement fund.
Gotcha.
And then so you moved my assets over to him, and he said, "Well, you know, you can get gold, but it's in certificate form."
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying like there's a physical form, and then there's also the certificate.
Right.
But honestly, when he says Bitcoin is you know crazy, I would say take whatever he's saying and just do the opposite.
I agree. Like,
you know, when it comes to gold certificates and Bitcoin and all that, I know it's great, you know. But in a real, you know what hits the fan situation, flock of chickens will be worth more than Bitcoin.
Well, I mean, it depends. But as long as the internet doesn't go down, the Bitcoin will continue to be valuable.
I think that's a good point. It's like you know, obviously, if we have a nuclear war and all of the networks go down, yeah, you're right. But you know, chances are more likely that that's not the situation that you're going to.
If you have a nuclear war, you're going to have more problems on your hands than you know Bitcoin.
Yeah, and the types of things that cryptocurrencies are good for is totalitarian.
LRN.FM.
Just in case.
but it's also getting the money out.
Too close
of
for comfort. Sorry, Steve. Say that again.
It's also getting the money out of the Federal Reserve system, out of the bank, and just putting it in your wallet to someone else's wallet.
Yeah, that's
the key to Bitcoin, correct?
Yeah, that's definitely a key aspect to it. That's something you can do with gold as well. And we know you, Steve. You come up regularly to visit us here in Keene from there in Connecticut. And you're a fan of the goldback. So that's another thing that is another way to get
the goldbacks and silver rounds. You know, that's a way to have a physical portion of gold that's portable, you know, in society.
Right, and those would work great in a nuclear or EMP attack, right? So if you have your gold backs on you, you still got useful money.
You know, I really have to wonder, though, like, if that's the scenario you're concerned about, do you have the bunker already? Or, like, do you just have the gold and you're going to die and not be able to use it?
Gotta have those chickens. I'll see you guys on
Thanks,
Sunday.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call tonight. Look, yeah, I mean, nuclear attack, you got some serious problems you're going to deal with. At that point, things like ammunition will become quite valuable.
Yeah.
You know, ammunition is already expensive.
Diversification is an important thing when it comes to assets.
Yeah, so. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, that's for sure. And you know, we're not investment advisors here, but we've certainly always said don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
That's generally a good suggestion to live by. We're coming up here. You can join us on Free Talk Live. Is Bitcoin fool's gold? You tell us.
July 25th, we adopted April. She's a purebred orange and white Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dynavite. DINOVITE.com. I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dynavite comes. And I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always lays a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine. April gets Dynavite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition. She even walks like a little princess.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I'm Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer agreed to a two-week delay of former President Trump's impeachment trial, allowing the chamber to handle President Joe Biden's cabinet nominations in the meantime. The House will send the impeachment article, which charges the former president with inciting the January 6th riots at the Capitol, on Monday, and senators will be sworn in on Tuesday. President Biden isn't backing a Democratic-led effort to get rid of the Senate's filibuster procedure as Senate leadership struggles to agree on a power-sharing deal. Republican Senator from Montana Steve Daines is no fan of getting rid of the filibuster.
Less than 48 hours ago, we heard from President Biden's inauguration about unity, about healing. This is not the way you unify and heal the nation.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. You're listening to USA Radio News. Bipartisan outrage over images regarding the National Guard.
A day after the inauguration went off with virtually no incidents, more than 10,000 National Guard members still on duty were told to leave the Capitol building and set up in the far side of the senator's parking garage. Senator Tammy Duckworth, an Iraq war veteran, made some calls, and now Capitol Police have apologized to the guardsmen, and they were allowed back into the Capitol building Thursday night. Overnight temperatures were in the 30s. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
All eyes on the economy at the White House. White House Economic Advisor Brian Deese saying big, bold action needs to be taken regarding a coronavirus relief package. All eyes on the economy at the White House.
It's a moment that requires decisive action to beat this pandemic and support the economic recovery that American families need.
Some Republicans concerned about the cost of the plan. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can take control here. You can dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight is Ian
and Chris
and TJ the Spy. And we've been talking about the latest attack here on Bitcoin by Peter Schiff, who is just... He is not going to change. I mean, he's decided he's going to be against cryptocurrency, even though his own son has apparently embraced it and has recently called Bitcoin fool's gold, claiming that it is, quote, never going to be money. It doesn't fit the very definition of money. And what is the definition of money? That's what I wanted to get into here, according to Investopedia.com. So I just, you know, looked online for, you know, what is the definition of money? How do you identify a thing as money? They say here that money should be, a currency should be fungible, durable, portable, recognizable, and stable. So five different aspects here. So they talk about fungibility. They say units of the good should be of relative uniform quality, so they are interchangeable with one another. If different units of the good have different qualities, then their value for use in future transactions may not be reliable or consistent. Trying to use a non-fungible good as money results in transaction costs of individually evaluating each unit of the good before an exchange can take place. So, is Bitcoin fungible?
I would say no, because even if I have one Bitcoin and you have one Bitcoin, we don't have necessarily the same Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoins can be tainted through criminal actions or through theft, And so there's a company called Chainalysis, which they actually maintain a record. If
Chainalysis.
Chainalysis, yeah. Or they help the prevent theft or help track down if there's a kidnapping or a robbery of some kind of crypto. They help track it through the ecosystem.
Because Bitcoin is public.
Because Bitcoin is public.
And the blockchain can be viewed by anybody. So
would that change then for Monero?
Monero is completely private because they use Ring CT and stealth addresses.
Which makes Monero fungible.
Yes.
So wait a minute. So we're going to call Monero fungible. And
Bitcoin is not.
We'll call that a valid money, but not Bitcoin.
That's just four other aspects here.
Okay, right. All right, let's keep going.
But I want to talk a little bit more.
I would say Bitcoin is not fungible because certain Bitcoins are blacklisted.
They're doing that now, yeah.
Yes, if you actually attempt to send certain Bitcoins, they'll actually be frozen.
What they're actually doing is they're forming, and they've been talking about this for a long time. I remember back at a Bitcoin convention, the first Bitcoin convention that Mark and I went to back in 2013, there was the CEO of Coinbase, still the same guy, still Brian somebody is his name, and then another CEO of a now defunct company called Tradehill. We're having a conversation with a attorney, and I was just standing there and, you know, heard the entire conversation. They were talking about forming what they called like a white hat society, where they would, you know, team up all these, you know, good government obedient businesses would team up and agree to form this group where they would refuse to accept this, what you call the tainted Bitcoins, TJ.
Yeah.
Where any Bitcoin that went through the Silk Road, they would say, oh, this is dirty money. We won't accept your dirty money. Even though, of course, the average person who receives money that came from the Silk Road would have no idea because they received it from somebody who, you know, don't know where the hell your Bitcoins come from, but they do know.
I can't imagine that would make it difficult to spend unless you could get everybody else on board with
it. Well, that's the thing. You wouldn't be able to get everybody on board with it, but a lot of these major companies would sign on with this. And in fact, it could become something where the government makes it a mandatory thing, where, imagine this. Coinbase is a big company, right? Like, for listeners that don't know, Coinbase is sort of like the big bank of cryptocurrency. They're a big company. They sell Bitcoin.
They're an exchange.
One that's hooked into the ACH transfer.
Yeah,
I was using big bank in a way to liken it to what it sort of is. They're not a bank, but they are ugly like a big bank. They
do understand.
Ugly
okay.
things. They agree with the government. They want They want to appease the government.
Sure.
So a company like Coinbase would go and lobby the state and say, hey, we've created this white hat society where we're refusing to do business with anyone that has money that went through any of these drug exchanges.
Mm.
And they would say, what we think you ought to do, government, is pass a law to mandate that everyone check this list before they do business with. And it would be some sort of an automated thing where, you know, a company would say, oh, you've got Bitcoin from the Silk Road or White House Market or whatever other, you know, crypto or underground darknet markets there are. Therefore, we refuse to do business with you. And that can absolutely happen with Bitcoin because it's not fungible, as TJ's pointing out. It's not happening 100% yet. It's not really something you have to worry about now.
I certainly see where that's possible, but it seems very difficult for me to imagine a world in which it would be have any kind of practical effect.
Well, the practical effect would be to bar certain bitcoins from exchanges. Government obsessed exchanges.
I mean, in the real world, that doesn't seem like it would affect me. Like
you and I could still exchange those bitcoins.
Right. Like I would accept crypto. I'm not gonna check the whitelist, and then I could also spend it. And not,
nope. The moment you go to spend it, it would be seized because it'd be on the blacklist.
But who's gonna seize it? And how are they gonna seize it?
Well, the merchant could get it. You send it to the merchant. And
so
they
I pay the merchant, and then the merchant takes it
and says, well, I'm sorry, it's on the blacklist.
Paid them.
I think they'd be more likely to send it back.
Send it back, okay.
Okay.
Unless
okay.
the government comes
but, I mean,
in
that,
and says, you know, like,
that's assuming that the merchant is even checking, and then it would have you'd have to have the cooperation of the merchant, and that just seems like it's going...
Right, no, it wouldn't be that you would use the merchant.
Well, here's the reason. If I were an attorney, I would tell the merchant, you better check that list, because if you accept dirty crypto... The government's going to say you knowingly accepted dirty crypto, and they're going to try to build a money laundering prosecution against
you. It seems like a weak argument because, to me, and I know.
Well,
and the reason I say it's a weak argument is just because you don't most business owners don't know.
They don't know.
Right?
The average business owner wouldn't be doing it themselves. It would be one of their service providers. So let's say BitPay,
maybe,
for instance.
Maybe.
If BitPay, you know, they've got this system where you can pay at a you know, like a
coffee shop.
Service, sure. A coffee shop, sure. Or whatever. I don't think AnyPay would adopt it, but BitPay would.
Right. And maybe that would be true for BitPay, but it wouldn't be true for AnyPay because AnyPay doesn't even work that way anymore anyway. You're sending it directly to the merchant's wallet, not through AnyPay.
Correct.
So it's no longer even something that would be applicable at that point.
Look, but you're right in that some people would still be able to transact Bitcoin, but the companies that are government obedient, and there are plenty of them,
sure,
would do this. Okay, it hasn't happened yet, but it's something they've been planning for years. The point that TJ's trying to make here is that makes two classes of Bitcoin. So it means that Bitcoin isn't fungible. That's the only point he's trying to make.
To say Bitcoin's not fungible.
Yeah. That means that some Bitcoin are worth different than other Bitcoin.
And I can point to another example. They actually will pay a 10 or 20% premium. Bitcoin investors will pay a 10 or 20% premium for Bitcoins that have no transaction history.
So really?
Yes. If you're a miner, you don't sell to an exchange. You sell to an investor because Bitcoin investors will pay a premium if your coins are Coinbase.
Why?
That is super.
Because they have no transaction history, so they can't be tainted.
So they're guaranteed
clean. They're guaranteed to be clean, so they have a higher premium.
Well, wait, what? Really?
Yeah, this was on CoinDesk.
This is actually something
this is in CoinDesk.
Verifiable.
And that's proof that it's not fungible. That's proof.
Really interesting.
All right, so let's move on to number two. This is the second, what they say, this is according to Investopedia, the factors of what makes money. So number one was fungibility. Two, durability. The physical character of the good should be durable enough to retain its usefulness in future exchanges and be reused multiple times. A perishable good or good that degrades quickly will not be as useful for future transactions. Trying to use a non-durable good as money conflicts with the money's essentially future-oriented use value. Now, this, at first blush, seems to apply more to a physical product. But when you think about it and as its application to Bitcoin, Bitcoin is actually taking larger and larger chunks out of every time you send, there's a network fee that you have to send. And so for every time I want to send Bitcoin to somebody, I have to pay some amount of Bitcoin to the network in order to send that Bitcoin. Now, when it was 1 cent or 2 cents, you know, that's relatively insignificant. But when it's $20.
Yes, that's a significant cost to transmit money.
Right. And actually, I just sent some Ethereum today. It was a $40 fee.
Wow.
To send Ethereum. It was insane. I never spent that much to send Ethereum. Now, I had to send this Ethereum, otherwise I would have said no. I would have refused this particular transaction. But let's continue. More about durability when it comes to cryptocurrency. Because, you know, at first blush, it seems like it's a pretty durable thing. It's digital. How could it go bad? 603-283-6...
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
The latest about the Liberty Radio Network via email updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
Free Talk Live. You can join us here talking about money and what defines it. We're going through the list here. The different aspects of what a money should be, what currency should be, 603-283-6160. And how close does Bitcoin come or other cryptocurrencies? So far, we've decided that Monero
is fungible.
Whereas Bitcoin is not really. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Ian
and Chris
and TJ the Spy.
Be sure to check out Chris on his show. He does his own thing on Saturday evening starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Time over at freedomdecrypted.com. In fact, TJ, did you agree to host?
I did agree to go do hosting with
You're making the circuit. I like it.
Yeah, making the circuit of the podcast.
A super interesting show tomorrow, and you want to tune in to watch it, not just listen. If you just listen to the show, usually not tomorrow. Tomorrow you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, is that all you want to say about why?
It's your show. I'll let you be the teaser.
I think we'll leave it.
You want to leave it?
Leave it as a surprise.
Okay, we'll leave it as a tease.
All right, so check that out. Let's just say you're going to be going back, 5 years in time to very special event.
This very special event.
603-283-6160. Yeah, check them out. FreedomDecrypted.com. That's their website, and you can watch it. But if you want, you can also download the audio later, and you can listen
very
to it if you want. FreedomDecrypted.com. It's a freedom-oriented tech show, and it's a great show, so check that out. So we're talking about money here, and we've been through fungibility. There's five aspects, according to Investopedia.com, that defines a good money. They should have as many of these five as possible, you know, to be the better the money, the more of the five that it has. So durability, it's talking about, you know, whether money can be exchanged multiple times without losing its value. And, you know, it's easily applicable to a physical currency, but when it comes to the durability of a cryptocurrency, I would say Bitcoin is the least durable of all of the cryptocurrencies right now, because every time you spend it, a chunk of it is going to the network. And there, you know, you have to spend on top of the amount I want to spend. So if I want to send you $100 worth of Bitcoin, it may actually cost me $110.
Yes, because of the Bitcoin.
Because of the Bitcoin fee could be as high as right now. $10 is not uncommon. If you want to see it go quickly, if you want to transmit it you know, in what they call the next block within roughly 10 minutes for confirmation times, you'll have to spend about $10 right now, according to the rates today. Now, you could spend like $2 and then wait for hours.
Are you monitoring my phone? Because it's funny, because about like a week ago, James found 25 milli bitcoins in an old Coinbase wallet worth about $1,000.
Really?
And so I said, well, let's just transfer it out of the Coinbase or the old blockchain info wallet. And we transferred it to my Trezor wallet. And so,
and what was the fee?
I got it for $2 because willing to put it on low transaction priority.
You were willing to wait.
And I said, you kept picking numbers like, you know, the Bitcoin fee, it was $10 and it was $2. I'm like, boy, he seems to be picking all the same numbers that I've been using.
Well, I've been spending Bitcoin, so I know what the fees are like right now. So there you go, durability. Let's move on to number 3, portability. It should be divisible into small quantities so that people can appreciate its original use value, highly enough that a worthwhile quantity of the good can be conveniently carried or transported. An indivisible good, immovable good, or good of low original use value can create issues. Trying to use a non-portable good as money could produce transaction costs of either physically transporting large quantities of the low-value good or defining practical transferable ownership of an indivisible or immobile object. Well, this one's pretty easy, and I would say cryptocurrency does meet this requirement. Crypto is inevitably very portable, and it is able to be divided down very, very small. In fact, that was one of the most interesting parts about Bitcoin early on, was how many decimal points it's got.
Yeah,
it's got eight of them.
Eight of them, so you can go down to one Satoshi, which is
the smallest
unit of account in Bitcoin, and that can be upgraded. So the point is, Bitcoin is a deflationary currency. There's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin ever minted. So the question is, what happens when Bitcoin, if people lose their keys, there's going to be less and less Bitcoin as time goes on.
And they're losing their keys. There was just a story in the news about a guy that lost $240 million worth of Bitcoin because he couldn't remember his password.
Yikes. So, yeah.
Oof. And then there was another guy that threw away a hard drive and was searching a dump. Or something like that.
The town
desperately
dump.
Trying to find his old laptop.
Yeah, I'm very grateful I didn't invest heavily. That would make me sick if I bought $1,000 worth of and said, "Oh, I lost $100 million of Bitcoin."
You'd be dreaming about it every night.
Oh yeah,
or nightmares. So I think it meets portable. I mean, that's pretty clear that it meets portable.
Fair enough.
Moving on here, recognizable. The authenticity and quantity of the good should be readily ascertainable to the user so they can easily agree to the terms of an exchange. Trying to use a non-recognizable good as money produces transaction costs of agreement on the authenticity and quantity of the goods by all parties to an exchange. What do you think about that one? Is Bitcoin recognizable?
I think it is between, individuals who are knowledgeable
about Bitcoin.
But does it have to be everybody? Because if that's the case, then, not everybody's going to recognize the euro, right? So I think it is to the same extent that, a fiat.
At least other monies.
Yeah.
I would say this about it. To some extent, there's some confusion within the world of Bitcoin. So you got Bitcoin. You got Bitcoin Cash. You've got Bitcoin SV. You've got Bitcoin Gold. There's all these sort of fun, forks of Bitcoin that have come out that add a lot of confusion to the question of what is Bitcoin. And some people believe that their Bitcoin's the one true Bitcoin. So, there's Bitcoin SV adherents who believe that this is the true Satoshi's vision, this is the one true Bitcoin, whereas others say, no, Bitcoin BTC is the one true Bitcoin.
I mean,
and so if you have, let me go on. Yeah. If you have somebody presenting to you and saying, hey, I'll give you some Bitcoin, and you say, oh, great, I know what Bitcoin is, and you hold out your Bitcoin wallet for BTC, and then they try to scan your wallet for sending you Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin SV, well, now you've got a problem.
I think that is people with certain interests. Just because you call a dog a cat doesn't mean the dog is a cat, right?
Are you saying Bitcoin SV or Bitcoin Cash is not Bitcoin?
I would say Bitcoin Cash is a fork of Bitcoin.
Is it Bitcoin?
No.
Because it's not on the same network.
Yeah, I mean,
different blockchains.
Yeah,
but they started with the same blockchain.
Does the market value it the same? No, it's clearly different.
Hold on then. Are you saying only the most valuable thing that's called Bitcoin is Bitcoin?
Nope, doesn't have anything to do with that.
So would Bitcoin BTC continue to be Bitcoin if it weren't the top crypto?
It it's the original fork. I mean, that's what effectively determines it, or at least what the whatever the market decides. I mean, when somebody forks,
well, now you're getting into the question of recognizability. I mean, you're saying if it's whatever the market decides. Is it the original fork that's always Bitcoin, or is it whatever the market decides is Bitcoin that's Bitcoin? It's getting confusing now.
I think it's whatever whatever takes control as far as the adoption of the cryptocurrency is concerned. I mean, there's multiple. I guess maybe you could get confused if there was like.
There are people who will tell you that Bitcoin SV is Bitcoin.
I think that's wrong. I mean,
they will tell you. Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
Hold on. They make a strong argument because.
Well, vision wise, I understand their argument. Yeah. I just think that their logic is flawed in the way they're arguing. I mean, just because something follows the original vision of the founder of Bitcoin does not necessarily make it Bitcoin.
So even though it actually follows what Bitcoin was originally, because it doesn't have BTC next to its name, it's not real Bitcoin.
It's not the same. It's a fork of the same chain.
But do you see
not,
the point I'm trying to make here is?
Yeah, it's still not.
We're all arguing over what is really Bitcoin, and that's nice. My point is, it's not recognizable. It's not clear in the marketplace.
I don't
which
think anybody
real.
Else is confused, other than a few people who are proponents of BSV.
I don't know. I think that if you went out there and talked to a total newbie, they would be very confused by this.
And what's
if you talk to somebody who's never seen the euro, might get confused about the euro too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
What was the last thing the money had to be?
Point number five is stability.
Well, that definitely Bitcoin is not stable.
The value
up and down.
The value place on.
So do fiat currencies, though. The Canadian currency lost 40% of its value over like a couple of years relative to the U.S. dollar.
That's a good point.
When I say stable, I mean the U.S. dollar doesn't go up and down by 20% in an hour.
That's true. That's true. No doubt about it.
It doesn't. Okay, Ken.
So I think that this is a mixed bag here as far as cryptocurrency meeting these five, you know, definitions of what is great.
I think what it comes down to, if you look at the reality of the situation, people are using it as money.
Oh,
whether
they're using
or not,
it, for sure.
Whether or not it meets this particular definition, they are using it as money.
No doubt about it.
And
I think it meets a lot of it better than government monies, as you pointed out.
Yeah, yeah. Well. I mean, it works better. It just does.
All government money's tainted.
It is.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for listening, and it has been so wonderful coming back to the Shire, and I hope you come back again.
You should come back sooner rather than later.
And permanently.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back, TJ.
It's good to be back.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you being here. Again, check out freedomdecrypted.com for more of TJ tomorrow, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Time at freedomdecrypted.com. Meanwhile, we'll join you again tomorrow night, freetalklive.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
So you've heard all 3 hours of the latest episode of Free Talk Live, and you're still hungry for liberty-oriented audio content? Did you know that we have another 24/7 audio stream at LRN.fm? The Liberty Radio Network airs the latest episodes of some of the best liberty-oriented podcasts on the internet, around the clock. In addition to recorded content, you'll also hear live shows like Free Talk Live, originating from our Keene, New Hampshire studio. So listen anytime at LRN.fm. That's LRN.fm.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542.
5542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.